Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. Israel launched three airstrikes on Lebanon today, including one that accidentally killed a Lebanese soldier. The Israeli army says it mistakenly thought the car he was driving in was carrying an important guerrilla leader. An apology and a promise today from Israel's prime minister, who says his country is sorry about the 56 civilian casualties in a bombing raid on a Lebanese building over the weekend, but Ehud Olmert also insisted there would be no ceasefire. At least one Republican in Washington broke ranks today with the White House over the Mideast issue. Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel calls the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah sickening slaughter.
President Bush must call for an immediate ceasefire. This madness must stop.
Hagel, of course, is no stranger to criticizing the Bush administration, having taken it on over its policy in Iraq. His comments came as the president today continued to dismiss having a ceasefire without a plan for a lasting peace.
What we've got to do is put pressure on the world to help create the conditions so that when there's a ceasefire, it lasts.
As for Iraq, key Democratic leaders in the House and the Senate have united, unusually, to call on President Bush to begin pulling U.S. troops out of Iraq by the end of the year. In a letter to Bush released on Monday, the Democrats backed a plan for the phased redeployment of troops. Bush, of course, has consistently said there will be no such pullout until the new Iraqi government can secure its position and Iraq's security forces can defend the country. Republicans said the letter from the Democrats amounted to Democratic leadership surrendering to terrorists. Ken Melman, chairman of the Republican National Committee, saying waving a white flag in Iraq may appeal to the net roots. He was referring to internet activists, but it will embolden the enemy, encourage more terrorism, and make America less secure. Fox News settled a lawsuit today with four women who claimed a Fox vice president sexually harassed them, creating a hostile workplace. The settlement includes $225,000 for the four women who no longer work at Fox. The settlement also requires Fox News take steps such as providing training and revising its policies to prevent future discrimination and retaliation. Fox News said in a statement that it denied all wrongdoing in this action and subsequent settlement. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Pallone here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. A little nervous out there in the world the past couple of days, huh? Nervous and scary as hell. We're going to talk about that on the program tonight. Also, La Guacamoron was in El Puerto de Miami today talking up the economy and talking down the Mideast crisis. So we have Moron Sounds, south of the border style for you this evening. Mi hermano, tell me to come to Miami. You know, he always puts that whine in his voice when he says his handful. Oh, never mind. And it's been a long time since we've shared some recent pictures of what used to be the world's littlest liberal, Molly Malloy. For those of you who have been sending us emails, that's who this is intended for. There are some new pictures of Molly up. If you go to MikeMalloy.com and click on the gallery, you'll see the world's littlest liberal at age 2. She's not the world's littlest liberal anymore. She only was for a very brief period of time. And let's hope she... Is she sleeping out there, Kathy? Let's hope she stays asleep tonight. She's had a cold the past couple of days, and if she gets wound up... If we're on the air here and go to best of programming any given time, it's either I've had a heart attack or Molly has waked up and is unmanageable. One of the two. So anyway, go to MikeMalloy.com for those of you who want to see pictures of Molly, and click on gallery, and there they are. Just when you thought it couldn't get worse, you know, I'm not talking about what's going on in the Middle East. Julian Borger, writing for The Guardian, I didn't see this in any American press, but it's in The Guardian of the UK, and he writes about the Bush crime family is building a new germ warfare center, and it violates a treaty that we are supposed to, that we are, of which we are signatories and which we are supposed to honor. But construction work has begun near D.C. on this huge germ warfare laboratory, and the work that's going to be done there will violate international law. And also, the 1972 Biological and Toxic Weapons Convention that we signed. Now, this thing is called the National Biodefense, always defense, right? The National Biodefense Analysis and Countermeasures Center, the NBACC. It's due to be completed in 2008, and it will house heavily guarded and hermetically sealed chambers, in which scientists simulate potential terrorist attacks. Hermetically sealed. Okay, now, well, the punchline's coming in a second. What this means is this place will have to produce and stockpile the most lethal bacteria and viruses that are known to humans. Now, that is what's forbidden in the Biological and Toxic Weapons Convention Treaty. 3 years before that treaty was signed, Nixon had halted the production of U.S. biological weapons at Fort Detrick in Maryland. Now, that same military base, Fort Detrick, is the site of this new 160,000-square-foot laboratory. The most toxic and lethal viruses and bacteria will be weaponized in this center. According to Julian Borger, the green light for the construction of this was given after the September 11 attacks, and of course that coincided with those, remember those still unsolved anthrax incidents that killed 5 people? Remember that? Huh? Remember? Doesn't that seem like a long time ago? It's just so dim. I wonder if the FBI is still working on that, huh? Now, here's the scary part. If that's not bad enough, that we're going to violate the treaty and break the law and start making these horrific biochemical, biological toxins, poison, if that's not bad enough, do you know who's going to run the center? Who's going to be overall in command of this? Yeah, the Department of Homeland Security. Jesus God. The Department of Homeland Security. The people who... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to lay it out for you. Department of Homeland Security. Now, there's the director of the Homeland Security Research and Development, someone named Maureen McCarthy, told the Washington Post over the weekend, quote, "All the programs we do are defensive in nature. Our job is to ensure that the civilian population of the country is protected and that we know what the threats are." End quote. Now, the weapons treaty that we signed back in 72, it stipulates that any country who signs the treaty must not, quote, "develop, produce, stockpile, or otherwise acquire or retain," end quote, "biological weapons." And, of course, it doesn't distinguish between offensive and defensive intentions. There's no such thing as defensive weapons. Come on. Oh, Jesus, I hate that. Some analysis now are saying that the extraordinary secrecy around this project is going to heighten suspicions of our intentions, you know, and cause work on similar facilities around the world with other countries to accelerate. Like, oh, pick a name. How about China? Huh? You think? Maybe North Korea. This is unbelievable. This is a $128 million, 160,000 square foot laboratory. And so here we go. These people really are murderers and killers. The Bush crime family, my God, this is so sick.
Where's the laboratory again?
Fort Detrick, Maryland.
Maryland, okay. What senator payback is that for? Pork belly, something for
I don't know.
Who thinks this is a good idea? Has no one gone to see 12 Monkeys, the Bruce Willis movie from about 10 years ago, Madeline Stowe? 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Best Brad Pitt performance I've ever seen, but that's beside the point. Freaky, freaky stuff. Biological weapons. Oh, I'm shutting up now.
Tony sent me an email. He sent this today. He says, "Mike, I was moved to absolute rage listening to your show on Friday as you talked about people being intimidated from helping the homeless." He's referring to several cities. The newest is Las Vegas. "It's a crime now to feed the homeless." Tony writes, "I could not help but wonder how many of those homeless are veterans. You read from Isaiah, which made me think also of the story of Sodom. Consider what John Boswell wrote about the story in 1980. Quote, "Lot was violating the custom of Sodom by entertaining unknown guests within the city walls at night without obtaining the permission of the elders of the city. When the men of Sodom gathered around to demand that the strangers be brought out to them that they might know them, they meant no more than to know who they were, and the city was consequently destroyed, not for sexual immorality, but for the sin of inhospitality to strangers." End quote. Tony writes, "The sin of inhospitality isn't taught, and instead we teach that the phrase, that they might know them, means that they were gang-raped by men to interrogate them to see if they were spies. Of course, this has nothing to do with homosexuality, but with rape, pure and simple. Just look at photos of Abu Ghraib, and you can see the real sodomites in action. Personally, I don't believe in a deity, but I do believe in common sense. No society can survive this kind of immorality. You don't need a god to assist in the implosion. As a gay man, I have witnessed the rise of these sodomites in lockstep with their call to scapegoat homosexuals. Now we have a government committed to denigrating the poor while condemning decent people. Unless we can revive our ability to care for the least among us, we will certainly pay the price." Tony.
First of all, I don't have anthrax.
Religiously, I'm speaking on the science, cause we gotta live on science alone. I tell you what, mathematically, I'm having it.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air. Air America Radio.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony Electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony Card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
People in Afghanistan a choice, but they didn't listen. They didn't respond, and now they're paying a price.
Sounds like Ehud Olmert, doesn't it? Reg sent this in to me. This is a couple of years old. I guess the Department of Veterans Affairs was ordered not to put out any more fact sheets like this. But regarding homeless being vets, one-third, this is from the VA, so I'm sure it's probably valid. But again, this is a couple of years old. So one-third of the adult homeless male population and nearly one-quarter of all homeless adults have served their country in the armed services. It says, while there is no true measure of the number of homeless veterans, it has been estimated that more than 250,000 veterans may be homeless on any given night, and that twice as many veterans experience homelessness over the course of a year. Many other veterans are considered at risk because of poverty, lack of support from family and friends, and precarious living conditions in overcrowded or substandard housing. And then it says almost all, 97%, almost all homeless veterans are male, and the vast majority is single. About 45% of homeless veterans suffer from mental illness, and with considerable overlap, slightly more than 70% suffer from alcohol or drug abuse problems. Next time you hear the Republicans talk about, you know, their concern about the veterans, if it's somebody near, just, you know, I won't say this. I'd like to say walk up and spit in their face, but I'm not supposed to say things like that on the air, so I won't say it. But the next time you hear a Republican talking about his or her concern for veterans, maybe you should just slip a VA fact sheet into their brassiere or a jock strap that has some of those figures on it that I just shared with you. Huh? God. The crazies in Cleveland who insist on controlling women and denying them the privacy of a consultation with their doctors, their husbands, the crazies who would deny women the right to make an extremely private decision based on that woman's concept of what she needs, what her belief system is in where it concerns ethics or morality, what decision that she and her spouse, one hopes, or if not her spouse, her partner, who got her pregnant, and her physician, who assisted in getting her pregnant, and her physician, that those three people, there's only three people involved in that sort of a decision, unless it's a child. But the crazies in Ohio are determined to deny a woman the right to privacy. Women are not entitled to make decisions privately without the presence of authoritative males who will tell them what to do and how to do it and when to do it. That's what the religious right is all about. That's what the Christian right and the Islamic right, and I would imagine the Jewish right, are all about. You know, utter and absolute control over women. It's very male, very hierarchical. So the religious right now, what they're doing, a group called the Center for Bioethical Reform. Makes you think a research project or something. The Center for Bioethical Reform. They're renting an airplane, and they're going to fly over Cleveland a billboard-sized picture of an aborted fetus. Now, that was to begin today. The director of the Center for Bioethical Reform, some freak named Greg Cunningham, said he hopes to jar people into reconsidering their support of abortion. What this dumb bastard doesn't realize is that no one is in favor of abortion. This is not an issue about abortion. This is an issue about privacy and the control of a woman's reproductive system. That's what it's about. It has nothing to do with abortion. Everyone is against abortion. Everyone, every single human being, unless they're nuts, is against abortion. But it's a privacy issue. Women who have abortions, they don't run into a cling, "Hi, I'm pregnant, rip it out." Of course, according to this sick, psychopathic half-wit, Greg Cunningham, flying over Cleveland with a billboard-sized picture of an aborted fetus is just the way to go. He said the banner would be the most graphic picture ever displayed from the air. He said, quote, "It will be categorically the most shocking we have ever done. The imagery is so horrifying that I can't almost stand to look at it." That's how he said it. "The imagery is so horrifying that I can't almost stand to look at it." End quote. He said that the he's also there'll be a toll-free number up there on this picture, and he said it will compare an aborted fetus to a second graphic image related to the war in the Middle East. And he added, quote, "This thing just sucks the wind out of even me." End quote.
Yeah.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The walls close in, the air grows thin. An unspeakable crime unfolds as a new victim learns that it is possible to be scared to death. Faithless, the chilling new novel by Karen Slaughter. When Grant County Coroner Sarah Linton discovers a young woman's body, she vows to unmask a killer who preys on both body and soul. Read Faithless by best-selling author Karen Slaughter, now a Dell paperback.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Orrick XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Orrick XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too.
For a state religion, that's not what we're going for. We don't want for one governmental religion. Government will never, you know, say this is the religion. We're free for society for religion.
God, shut up. Picture of an aborted fetus flown over Cleveland. The lengths to which people will go in order to control women and to deny people the right of privacy is surprising to me. I don't know why it still is. Oh, well. Regarding the homeless veterans and how many of them are mentally ill, the VA estimates at least 45% of homeless veterans are mentally ill. And Lauren says, Mike, do these people become homeless as a result of psychological changes which follow killing human beings? Are veterans unable to cope with life in other countries, or is this strictly an American phenomenon? You know, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't even know what other countries have as an equivalent of the Veterans Administration, if there is such a thing. I have no earthly idea. And this is from today's Las Vegas Sun. City Marshals, Las Vegas Marshals, ticket 7, arrest 3 in the homeless protests. It says City Marshals blocked a radio personality from feeding homeless people at a City Hall park Monday. Blocked? How do you, what do you do, knock the spoon out of their hand? And issued summonses to a television crew covering a publicity protest against a ban on, quote, mobile soup kitchens, end quote. Three people were arrested. 7 were issued summonses at two parks, city officials said, including a reporter and a cameraman ticketed for trespassing while covering the protest for the CBS affiliate in Las Vegas. Beth Monk, a KKLZ-FM radio morning show personality, became the first person to receive a summons under a new law that makes feeding the homeless a misdemeanor, punishable by a fine of $1,000, 6 months in jail. Monk, who's 24, traffic reporter and radio comedy team sidekick, said, quote, the idea was to go out there and show the mayor this ordinance makes no sense whatsoever, end quote. Monk said city officials confiscated food and water, she said, on a cement wall at Frank Wright Park. She was threatened with arrest if she did not leave. Two people who also were arrested Monday for trespassing before 7 a.m. at Huntridge Circle Park. Huntridge is an urban park several blocks east of downtown where city officials first acted against so-called soup kitchen meals for homeless people. Oh, my God. So they're serious.
Did we ever establish if you could feed the hookers?
Or have sex with the homeless? I don't know. That's... You know, it was kind of funny when the ordinance first came out, but now they're arresting people and issuing summonses, so it's not funny. What a place to live, huh? What a place to live, the United States of America, here in the age of Bush. You want to talk about Mel Gibson's anti-Semitic tirade? Mel Gibson is crazy. You know, we don't do Hollywood or E! Network stuff on this program, but Gibson just really went off his nut. We did talk about Passion of the Christ when it came out, and how it, for some reason, Gibson and his old man, I think they're both members of Opus Dei. If they're not, they should be. But when Passion of the Christ came out, a lot of people said it was anti-Semitic. I didn't go see it. I don't. I really am not interested in pornography. I like erotica, but I don't like pornography. I don't care what, if it's sexual pornography, religious pornography, war pornography. I just don't like pornography. It. I've seen enough of it here in the past six months with, or past year, I should say, with these photos that are coming out of the Middle East, whether they're the result of American bombs, or Israelis using American bombs, or if they're the result of insurgents fighting back against Americans and wiping out innocent people in the process, or fighting back against Israeli occupiers and killing innocent people in the process. I'm just sick of it. I'm tired of the pornography. But Mel Gibson, really found something that Christo-fascists in this country can get their teeth into, and that was the Passion of the Christ, which was, I understand, somebody, you know, on the reviewers that I read said it was an hour and a half, or however long it was, 2 hour long, blood and gore, pornographic display of the scourging of Jesus. Now, I know that made a lot of money for Mel Gibson, made him just hundreds of millions of dollars. That's a pretty good deal, right? Oh, my God. I wonder how much that he contributed to Christian charities. Oh, never mind. But I know here in the South, and what I've read all over the country, busloads of churchgoers would, you know, they get discounted tickets and go watch their messenger from God being turned into a scraped and scoured and bloodied and battered lump of dead human flesh. And I, you know, when that came out, I just how can people do that? How can they focus on that? Why not focus on whatever good this man did when he tried to explain to people 2,000 years ago that they were off their nut, and that what they were doing was insane? You know, why not focus on that? No. So, Mel Gibson, I've enjoyed him as an actor. I really have a lot of stuff. What was that one where he was all paranoid, Kathy, where he thought the FBI was after him? And
Hey, just because he was paranoid doesn't mean it wasn't true. Conspiracy Theory.
Conspiracy Theory.
It's a great movie.
It was a great movie. I loved it.
Rent that one and 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, 12, yeah. You know, I've kind of, not always, because I came late to Mel Gibson. I didn't pay too much attention to the Road Warrior or whatever the hell they were, pictures that first made him as an actor. But He really went crazy, didn't he, when he got busted for alleged drunken driving? They had to cuff him, apparently, according to the cops. They said, you know, if you'll cooperate, we won't cuff you. And they had to subdue him and cuff him. But if you read, and I'm not even going to try to read this with all these F's in here, just can't do it. But, man, this guy was really insane. Now, it raises the question then. We can all go insane, you know, especially if we're drunk or high on drugs or whatever. You can get wacko, especially if you're pulled over and you know you're up against the law, and especially if you're an arrogant son of a bitch like Mel Gibson apparently is. But, okay, we can all do that. You know, you F this and you F her that and you MF her and blah, 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 blah. But what is it about the Jews? I mean, is that what happens when you get drunk? You start cursing the Jews. Why not the Baptists? You know, that would be like if I got pulled over for drunk driving, and if I ever am pulled over for drunk driving, I hope they put me in prison for 10 years. Oh, I'm death on drunk driving. Oh, one time. That's what you get one time, then you lose your license to drive for life. Sorry, I'm just a real Nazi where it concerns drunk driving. Oh, my God, am I a Nazi. But here's Mel Gibson, and he gets pulled over for drunk driving, and he goes off on the Jews. Now what does that mean? Well, what? Do you have to have at least 3 hours in a Psych 101 class to realize what's going on there? Mel Gibson is a true anti-Semite. He hates the Jews. So when he's drunk and out of control, he comes up with this stuff, effing Jews. He asks the cop, are you a Jew? Oh, he just goes on and on and on and on. It's incredible. And then he made some really lewd comments at the female. Oh, you are? Well, all right. He was put in a cell with handcuffs. He said he needed to urinate, and after a few minutes tried manipulating his hands to unzip his pants. He was going to pee on the floor of the booking cell, and then somebody thought to take him to the bathroom. Oh, it just goes on and on. It's just vile. Just incredible. This is from that TMZ.com, whatever that is. Some entertainment website who got all this information. Interestingly, the guy that's been all over television today is Jewish, who owns the TMZ website, or whatever this TMZ is. I have no idea what it is. But, you know, if you get drunk in Hollywood and you're busted, you go off on the Jews? Is that no, obviously not. Unless you are you have deep anti-Jewish, let's not say anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish feelings. Gibson is of the opinion, still, like most Opus Dei people are, that Jesus was murdered by the Jews. That the Romans and colonialism and the political structure of the time had nothing to do with Jesus' execution. That it was those Jews that did it. And But I when this story started breaking, when it was yesterday, I just said, oh my God, this, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. Here he goes. Now, a lot of folks, a lot of Jews, I believe, thought that the Passion of the Christ was just blatantly anti-Semitic. And again, I didn't see it, so I can't respond to that. But I guess this kind of answers that question, huh? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. I wanna get drunk and get off of my mind. Oh, one person, one shot, and one beer.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I work all day, Dr. Phil, and, okay, fine, I guess I'm sort of a homebody, so I feel like it's really never going to happen for me.
Look, love is not like the pizza man. Hi, I'm going door to door looking for a life partner. Not going to happen.
Dr. Phil is now on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day and help them find love. Now with our free starter kit, you can see if we're right for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
We'll be right back.
but there's booze in the blender.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
You know, Mel, you either ought to cut back on the booze or the public drinking, or maybe just, you know, take a look inside about your anti-Jewish or your Jewish hatred. Obviously, that's what's eating at you. Oh well, it's not my place to question Mel Gibson. They wrote the names of the dead children on their plastic shrouds. Mehdi Hashem, age 7, Klana, was written in felt pen on the bag in which the little boy's body lay. Hussein al-Muhammad, age 12, Klana. Abbas al-Shaloub, age 1, Klana. And when the Lebanese soldier went to pick up Abbas's little body, it bounced on his shoulder as the boy might have done on his father's shoulder on Saturday. In all, there were 56 corpses brought to the Tyre government hospital and other surgeries, and 34 of them were children. When they ran out of plastic bags, they wrapped the small corpses in carpets. Their hair was matted with dust. Most had blood running from their noses. You must have a heart of stone not to feel the outrage that those of us watching this experienced yesterday. This slaughter was an obscenity, an atrocity. Yes, if the Israeli Air Force truly bombs with the pinpoint accuracy it claims, this was also a war crime. Israel claimed that missiles had been fired by Hezbollah gunmen from the South Lebanese town of Klana, and as if that justified this massacre. Israel's Prime Minister Ehud Olmert talked about Muslim terror threatening Western civilization, as if the Hezbollah had killed all these poor people, and in Klana, of all places. For only 10 years ago, this was the scene of another Israeli massacre, the slaughter of 106 Lebanese refugees by an Israeli artillery battery, as they sheltered in a UN base in the town. More than half of those 106 were children. Israel later said it had no lifetime pilotless photo reconnaissance aircraft over the scene of that killing, a statement that turned out to be untrue when The Independent discovered videotape showing just such an aircraft over the burning camp. It is as if Cana, whose inhabitants claim that this was the village in which Jesus turned water into wine, Klana has been damned by the world, doomed forever to receive tragedy. And there was no doubt of the missile which killed all those children. It came from the United States. And upon a fragment of it was written, quote, for use on MK-84 guided bomb BSU-37-B. No doubt the manufacturers can call it combat proven, because it destroyed the entire three-story house in which the Shaloub and Hashim families lived. They had taken refuge in the basement from an enormous Israeli bombardment, and that is where most of them died. Yesterday's deaths brought to more than 500 the total civilian dead in Lebanon since Israel's air, sea, and land bombardment of the country began on 12 July. After Hezbollah members crossed the frontier wire, killed 3 Israeli soldiers, and captured 2 others. But yesterday's slaughter ended more than a year of mutual antagonism within the Lebanese government as pro-American and pro-Syrian politicians denounced what they described as an ugly crime. Thousands of protesters attacked the largest UN building in Beirut, screaming, "Destroy Tel Aviv! Destroy Tel Aviv!" And Lebanon's Prime Minister, the normally unflappable Fuad Siniora, called U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and ordered her to cancel her imminent peacemaking trip to Beirut. There's more. That's Robert Fisk writing for The Independent of the U.K. You can find it by going to a number of sources, information, clearinghouse.info, or go to The Independent itself. It's under the headline, "How Can We Stand By and Allow This to Go On?" In the meantime, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said today there would be no ceasefire in the coming days. Olmert told a conference of local officials, quote, Quite a few days of fighting are still before us. We will stop the war when the rocket threat is removed, our captive soldiers return home in peace, and you are able to live in safety and security. We are paying a very precious and almost unbearable price in terms of loss of life, major damage to public and private property and tranquility, and we're not prepared to give up our right to live peacefully, to live perfectly ordinary lives, which are not subject to terrorism and hate and fanaticism, end quote, Olmert said. I'm not going to get into it tonight. I really am not. The dead children thing and the wounded children thing, The dead children thing and the wounded children thing. But, you know, today when Kathy was posting those pictures that we've taken over the past couple of months in Mali, as she approached her second birthday, and a couple of those pictures are her of her second birthday, you know, you can't have a child in your family now or a grandchild and be aware of what's going on in Gaza and Lebanon and Israel and Iraq. You can't not feel just some sort of unstoppable nausea and horror unless you are so dead inside that it just doesn't matter anymore, you know? Just keep that in mind, though, my fellow citizens, that the Israelis may be delivering the bombs, but the bombs are made in America. Remember that. They're made here. We make the bombs that kill children. How about that? Little comic relief when we come back to Guacamoron in Miami. Stick around.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Who's there?
Opportunity.
Opportunity who?
Opportunity knocking.
What for?
Your chance to win.
Win what?
Sony stuff.
Who's with you?
Sony card.
Sony card who?
Sony card weekly cash-in.
Cash-in? How much?
A $500 Sony card credit or a $599 Sony style gift card every week.
That's a lot of dough.
Good for a lot of entertainment.
Like movies and music? A digital camera?
Go for it.
But how?
Every week, 3 lucky card members could win.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
But you gotta act fast.
Where do I apply?
Online.
What's the address?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner.
Sounds easy.
It is. It's SonyCard. Earning points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with SonyCard.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. A brief lull in the Mideast fighting was shattered today when Israel launched at least 3 more airstrikes on southern Lebanon. Israeli aircraft cut short the 2-day pause in the attacks after they said Hezbollah guerrillas blew up an Israeli tank. Israel's prime minister says he is sorry for the deaths of dozens of civilians, including children, killed in an airstrike at Kana over the weekend. But Ehud Olmert also says Israel is determined to succeed against Lebanese guerrillas.
Fighting continues. There is no ceasefire, and there will not be a ceasefire in the next few days.
Israel's prime minister Ehud Olmert speaking through an interpreter. President Bush said again today that he will not push for a Mideast ceasefire unless, as he put it, provisions lay the groundwork for a long-lasting truce.
We will work with our allies in the UN Security Council to put a resolution forward that, you know, hopefully will work, but will work in a for sustainable peace.
The United Nations today kept the door open on what could be an expanded peacekeeping mission in Lebanon. The Security Council extended the existing international deployment in the region today. It was due to expire. The Security Council extended it for another month. Now, that came right after the UN Security Council moved against Iran today. Also, a new resolution giving Tehran 1 month to stop enriching uranium. Otherwise, there will be more UN talks on sanctions. Iran, not impressed, said that the UN Security Council did not have the necessary legitimacy, as it put it. Another case of foot-in-mouth disease strikes another Republican, this time Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. In a fundraising speech this weekend to fellow Republicans in Iowa, he referred to Boston's troubled Big Dig construction project as a tar baby. Black leaders were upset at his use of the term, which dates to the Uncle Remus stories, referring to a doll made of tar that traps Br'er Rabbit. It has come to be known as a way of describing a sticky mess, but it has also been used as a derogatory term for black people. Governor Romney of Massachusetts said he didn't know anyone would be offended by it. However, White House spokesman Tony Snow got the same criticism back in May during his very first news conference when he used that term in response to a question about government surveillance. I'm Mark Shearer, and you're listening to Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. I don't know if how many folks are paying attention to this, but I think it was last Friday, the Bush crime family, there's an article in written by Ann Flaherty for the Associated Press. It was all over the place, but, page 39, a U.S. citizen suspected of terror ties might be detained indefinitely and barred from access to civilian courts under legislation proposed by the Bush administration. That was her lead sentence. It's apparently a 32-page draft measure. It's intended to authorize the Pentagon's tribunal system. No more courts, no more habeas corpus, no more right to confront your accuser, no more trial by jury, no more being able to refute witnesses with defense testimony, no more nothing. This bill will allow hearsay testimony against you. Now, who could be picked up like this? Well, anyone. According to this draft measure, the military would be allowed to detain all, quote, enemy combatants, close quote, until hostilities cease. The bill defines enemy combatants as anyone engaged in hostilities. And it doesn't define hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners. Anyone who has committed an act that violates the law. Legal experts said last Friday that such language is dangerously broad and could authorize the military to detain indefinitely U.S. citizens. Martin Lederman, a law professor at Georgetown University, said that's the big question, the definition of who can be detained. And Scott Silliman, a retired Air Force judge advocate, said the broad definition of enemy combatants is alarming because a U.S. citizen just even suspected of terror ties would lose access to a civilian court and all the rights that come with it. If you have a name similar to a suspected terrorist and they bust you, you're toast. That's it. See ya. How many people have been murdered in this country by out-of-control cops, these narc freaks who, I don't care if they're state, local, federal, who bust into somebody's house or apartment with guns blazing, and three people are dead. Oops, wrong house. Oh, damn. Sorry. And now these sons of bitches are going to be allowed to detain people under this Bush crime family act that they're trying to get into law with no recourse to the courts. That's it. You're toast. You're gone. You're dead. That's it. The last thing here, the Bush administration's proposal, as considered at one point during discussions, would toss out legal rights common in civilian and military courts, including barring hearsay evidence, guaranteeing speedy trials, granting a defendant access to evidence. The proposal also would allow defendants to be barred from their own trial and allow the submission of coerced testimony. So if they pick you up and I know you and you say I didn't do anything and they torture me until I say he did too, your ass is toast. That's it. This is the Bush crime family. Do you people understand what's going on here? I know you do. I'm just putting it that way, understanding that we have a whole shadowy crowd of right-wingers who listen to this program, who sit there in the dark playing with themselves, terrified to call in. But for you right-wingers who are listening, do you understand that you're included in this, you dumb freak? Do you think that because you voted for Bush, that somehow, or you've got a W sticker on the back of your SUV, that if the time comes to bust your ass, they're going to say, oh, no, he voted for Bush, never mind. Like they need your vote? They have the machines, you freak. They don't need your vote. Oh, God. Well, it's pretty incredible. So that's what's going on behind the scenes while we're all focused on the dead children, while we're all focused on 2-year-olds with their faces burned shut thanks to the Israelis' use of white phosphorus. which comes from the United States, or at least is delivered to the Lebanese, thanks to the United States, via one of our missiles or bombs or rockets. You know, while we're all focused on that, the Bush crime family is back here in the States, gutting, destroying the Constitution, ruining our legal system, murdering our criminal justice system. Who qualifies as enemy combatant? You do. Have you read the new definitions that are in the USA Patriot Act? Do you know, truth seeker, that if you participate, for example, in a picket line, whether you're a member of the union involved in picketing a company, let's say it's a company that makes weapons to go kill Lebanese children, and you don't like that, so you picket in front of that bomb factory or that missile factory in Seattle or Marietta, Georgia, or upstate New York or Texas, wherever it is, and you get arrested, under the new rules, you are an enemy combatant. You're giving aid and comfort to the enemy. Do you not understand what's going on here? Well, I know you do. I know you understand it. I just wonder how much longer we're going to permit this. Our bureau chief out in Aurora, Illinois, Marianne, our physicist friend. But does she always say she's not a physicist? She is a physicist, yeah. Dr. Marianne. Hi there, Mike. Mike, we may very well be watching the beginning of Armageddon. Israel has been afflicted with the same madness as our own country, and there may just be enough religious and ideologically insane people in both countries to make it happen. And among the obvious people to blame, the Senate Democrats stand out as complete utter failures. The Bush Company we know to be looters, but where's the principled opposition? Let's hear what one of the A-list Dems had to say this weekend. This is Senator Schumer yesterday. A Democratic filibuster of John Bolton's nomination as United Nations ambassador is unlikely, Schumer said. Schumer supported an effort last year to block Bolton's nomination from gaining a full Senate vote, but he confirmed that he's considering changing his position now. Mr. Schumer said he had not made a final decision on which way to vote and that a lot of Democrats were also contemplating their position. Chuck said, quote, I think that if you count the votes, the filibuster is unlikely, end quote. Mr. Schumer's comments yesterday serve as an acknowledgement that the war between Israel and Hezbollah may bolster Mr. Bolton's confirmation. Both Mr. Schumer and Mrs. Clinton, the two senators from New York, have made statements strongly supporting Israel and the Bush administration's position on the Israel-Hezbollah war, and they have faced increasing pressure from Jewish groups to show their backing by voting to confirm Mr. Bolton. The Senate will have a recess in August, and a vote could take place in September. Now, Marianne says, isn't our U.N. ambassador supposed to represent U.S. interests? Aren't our U.S. senators supposed to represent Americans? Guess not. She goes on to say, the issue of Israel has just about destroyed the Democrats as a source of real political opposition. The AIPAC money has left them too morally compromised and politically addled to stand up to the Bush administration on the whole spectrum of national security failures, rampant corruption, and outright treason. They should all be demanding impeachment. They can't. Support Bolton? He and the other neocons are going to destroy Israel and everyone else in the Middle East. Why are we tolerating this stupid conflation of anti-Semitism and criticism of Israel, Marianne writes. The Israelis are now behaving incompetently as well as immorally. Their friends should be staging an intervention. Instead, we are giving them the keys to the liquor cabinet, metaphorically speaking. Every decision has been on the side of inflaming tensions, increasing violence, and pushing peace further over the distant horizon. We'll be right back. This is Air America.
I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across the sky. Welcome to the new American century.
farewell to the new American century.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I've torture tested my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum in the world's most grueling proving grounds, luxury hotels. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Folks, you owe it to yourself to try the end product of my 40-year obsession, the 8-pound Orrick XL. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. If it's perfect for hotels, it's perfect for you.
The walls close in, the air grows thin. An unspeakable crime unfolds as a new victim learns that it is possible to be scared to death. Faithless, the chilling new novel by Karen Slaughter. When Grant County Coroner Sarah Linton discovers a young woman's body, she vows to unmask the killer who preys on both body and soul. Read Faithless by best-selling author Karen Slaughter, now a Dell paperback.
Homeland Defense is active and strong communications. Respond to uncorroborated evidence.
Oh, God. All right, finishing up from our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief, Marianne. She, at the end of page one, it says, the Israelis are now behaving incompetently as well as immorally. Their friends should be staging an intervention. Instead, we are giving them the keys to the liquor cabinet, metaphorically speaking. Every decision has been on the side of inflaming tensions, increasing violence, and pushing peace further over the distant horizon. We won't talk to Syria. We won't talk to Iran. We won't talk to Hezbollah or Hamas. And the Lebanese are too weakened to be players. The world needs an engaged American presence, pressing for peace. We have crusaders instead. Maybe Condi had one of those clarifying moments last week when we saw her, forehead in hand, next to the Lebanese prime minister, seeming in great pain. Did she realize that there was no way out of history judging her a failure or worse? Did she have visions of the defendant's dock in The Hague or hanging upside down with W, a la Mussolini and his mistress? They are all diseased, and the would-be adults, including our good Democrats, Obama and Durbin, are too cowed or bought off by the Likud party via AIPAC to do the right thing and intervene. Not a single Democrat in the Senate, not one. By the way, who will fetch the Israelis when their country is in complete flames? Do you think that the United States will open its borders to a couple million Jewish persons? How will the Minutemen react to that immigrant influx? It's hard to watch insane people fly planes into buildings or their countries into oblivion. Yeah. I wonder how long it'll be before Mel Gibson joins the Minutemen. Oh, he got into a rehab program.
Just in time for the release of his next film?
Well, you know, yeah, probably. All right, a couple of phone calls here as we're coming up on the next break. Who have we got here? Let's start with Susan, who's calling from Las Vegas. Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey.
Listen, I was involved with a group for about 5 years, and we used to feed people out of the back of our cars,
mm-hmm.
and we would prepare hot meals, sandwiches, hot coffee. You know, the one thing that they got excited about was the fact that we bothered to give them cream for the coffee and we buttered the bread, which is just amazing. But they ran us off the street a couple of times,
yeah.
And we finally ended up in the parking lot of the Salvation Army. They offered us space there because it was private property. But one right. of the reasons why they're doing this is because the mayor here doesn't want the world to know that we have homeless people in this tourist town. And we have, in fact, over 40,000 homeless people. A lot of it's due to gambling addiction. Some of it is attributable to the fact that our school system ranks like 48th out of 50.
And a lot of, I understand a lot of those people are homeless veterans, people who have yes. been in the military.
We have quite a few homeless veterans here, and that's the saddest thing of all. I see them all the time. And one of the times that we were out there, they said that if we came there the next night, which they knew that we came on that particular night, that they would send the fire department out there, and they threatened to turn hoses on us. And for me, that was difficult because I'm an African American woman. I'd rather you shoot me with a gun than a turn a hose on me.
I hear that.
It's on our history, you know. Mm. So, but it's all got to do with tourism and money. That's what it is. They want to put out a different image of this town. And in fact, this town has, as I said, close to 40,000 homeless people here. So,
well, I just
wanted to give you an idea of why, you know, why they're doing that. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Well, but isn't it amazing, and this is the way it always happens, Susan, they're worried about the image of Las Vegas trying to suppress feeding the homeless, and look what this story has generated.
Oh, exactly. It's gotten a lot of press. At first, I thought it was just local. I didn't see anything on, you know, CNN like that, because we just saw it here last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it just took off, and I've seen it everywhere. And listen, it needs to be out there. People need to know exactly what's going on. This is not just a city of lights, and we're not one block, one street long with a bunch of beautiful hotels.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thriving community here that's trying to survive.
And the part that really crushed me about that is, you know, we have a fairly large homeless population here in Atlanta, and there's always efforts to just round these people up and dump them in a hole somewhere. But, you know, I always think about how the Republican politicians claim two things. First, that they support the military and the veterans, and second, that this is a Christian nation. Exactly. And if those two things are true, then there can be no homeless in or no hungry in Las Vegas. The two concepts can't exist, can't peacefully coexist. We're a Christian nation, and we lock people up for feeding the hungry. That's an impossibility. Hey, Susan, thanks. I got a boogie. Thanks for checking in. Take care, okay?
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Somebody say
this is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for The Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
If you want someone to tell you what you want to hear, we're not the place. But if you want someone to tell it like it is, come to Match.com.
You need to start making some different decisions and embracing some different strategies to get what you want.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
We'll be right back.
doing talk radio right. From the left, it's More of Mike Malloy.
Six before the hour. All right, I want to do some of these. We don't have that many, so hang with me here. If you're on hold, we're going to get to your phone call. Chucklenuts, President Chucklenuts was discussing the economy to the Coast Guard at the Port of Miami in Florida. Oh, my God.
I think maybe he got lost trying to get on a cruise ship to the Dominican Republic with Rush or something. I'm not sure. He didn't seem like he was giving the right speech to the right crowd.
So, but he's addressing the Coast Guard. What the hell is wrong with this guy? Oh, well. Now, before he started in on the axis of evil, you know, Syria, Iran, and Hezbollah, the Guacamoron had this to say to all the Diegos in La Costa Garda, at the Port of Miami. Yo quiero Taco Bell. I'm craving a chalupa. Maybe little brother Jeb will fetch one for me. And a cold Lone Star.
Bienvenido a Miami. This trip's a little different from the last time I spent the night here in Miami. Last night, Jeb and I had some crabs.
They have ointment for that.
With, like, members of the 1972 Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Marino and his... really dynamic wife,
yeah.
TV stars,
yeah.
Andy Garcia, movies.
What happened? Was that the end of it? Whose wife was he hanging out with? The Miami Dolphins. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be with brother Jeb, mi hermanito. Oh, my God. All right, let's try it again.
Bienvenido a Miami. This trip's a little different from the last time I spent the night here in Miami. Last night, Jeb and I had some crabs.
They have ointment for that.
With, like, members of the 1972 Miami Dolphins.
Like members?
Dan Marino and his really dynamic wife. TV stars, Andy Garcia, movie star. We had a fantastic experience. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be with brother Jeb. Mi hermanito.
Hanging out with movie stars and somebody's wife and getting the crabs. Well, okay. So what words of wisdom did Mensa Man have to offer on the current Mideast crisis to the La Guardia Nacional? Rise to the rescue! Eventually. Now, while we're waiting for on-again, off-again ceasefires, let's not forget whose fault it is.
Let me start by telling you I'm monitoring the situation in the Middle East very closely. Secretary Rice was in the region over the weekend, and she is working urgently to get a sustainable ceasefire.
What's
a ceasefire
that?
Which will last.
Oh, is that what that means?
As we work with friends and allies, it is important to remember this crisis began with Hezbollah's unprovoked terrorist attacks against Israel. Israel is exercising its right to defend itself.
Yaddy, yaddy, yaddy. Is there any more salsa around here? I love these crab quesadillas. Oh, my God. Somebody needs to get on the phone with that Syrian fella and tell him to cut the crap. Okay, can we have more food? Ah, got more food? The crisis began with Hezbollah's unprovoked terrorist attacks against Israel. Let's go ahead with the terrorist attack. Unprovoked? Unprovoked. Okay. Now, this clip pretty much lays out the step-by-step project for a new American century plan for Mideast invasion and domination for the remainder of Bush's illegal presidency. Listen to this.
To achieve the peace that we want, we must achieve certain clear objectives. Lebanon's democratic government must be empowered to exercise sole authority over its territory.
That's part one, invade Lebanon.
A multinational force must be dispatched to Lebanon quickly so we can help speed the delivery of humanitarian aid to the Lebanese people.
That's part two, get the UN to pay for it.
Iran must end its financial support and supply of weapons to terrorist groups like Hezbollah.
That's part three, eliminate Iran.
Syria must end its support for terror and respect the sovereignty of Lebanon.
And that's part four, eliminate Syria. Okay, what's for lunch? Got any more of those crab quesadillas? Me and my hermanito Jeb, who happens to be the governor of most of these places, you know? We went out with movie stars last night. We got the crabs. You know what I mean? We ate the crabs or something. No economic speech in Miami is complete without the usual claptrap about immigration and illegal workers. It seemed like he's added a bit of punch to the end of his message today. Maybe that's because the Coast Guard. Or where is he? La Costa Guarda. Not Nacional. Not La Guardia Nacional, Miguel! Tu es loco! Es not in the Nacional Guardia Nacional, es Guarda Costa! Jesus Cristo! Anyway, he's talking to the Coast Guard about immigration and illegal workers. Seems like he's added a bit of a punch here. So apparently Rove told him his immigration speeches need to be sexed up a bit. So Bush gives a shout-out for Jesus.
Amnesty is not the right approach.
No, hell no.
But neither is trying to remove the 10 or 11 million people who have been here illegally.
No, hell no.
Deportation is not going to work.
No, hell no.
What must work is a rational middle ground that says you can pay a fine,
uh-huh.
You can learn English,
uh-huh.
You can prove you've been a lawful citizen,
uh-huh.
And then you can get in the citizenship line,
uh-huh.
But at the back of the line, not the front of the line.
No, hell no.
And finally, we'll continue to work to help people assimilate into the United States.
No, hell no.
We want people learning English.
No, hell no.
We want people learning our history and our tradition.
No, hell no.
We're going to work hard to make sure we're one nation under God.
Jesus Cristo, Zapapino, Magarra, Pasquina, Parambarero. One nation under God. Your God, right? Yeah, that says it all. Now, last one here. Since he was in Miami to talk about the economy, he talks like this because he thinks if he talks like this in English, it makes it sound like he's maybe, you know, Mexicano or Espanol or something. Since he was in Miami to talk about the economy, he did manage to squeeze in a few of the expected sound bites about unemployment and small business owners and the like. So here's this bit from his closing remarks on the economy. And the future. Because I can't take any more from Raisin Brain esta noche. My ears are starting to, como se dice, bleed.
I want you to know that I am optimistic about the future of this country. I'm confident that we're going to win the war on terror.
Yeah!
Because I understand that our vision of freedom,
yeah,
our belief in liberty,
yeah,
is more powerful than the ideology of hatred that the terrorists espouse.
Yeah, damn right. Yeah.
I believe this economy will remain strong if we leave hands in the money, if we leave the money, people's money in their own hands so they can save, invest, and spend.
I believe this economy remains strong if we leave hands in the, if we leave people's. Can you play that one again? I want to hear that ending again. Yeah, this is where he's talking about sticking his hands in other people's money. But just listen to this freak. Go ahead, do it again.
If we leave hands in the money, if we leave the money, people's money in their own hands so they can save, invest, and spend.
Yeah, we're going to save in this country. Hey, Chuckle Nuts, have you not been paying attention? The American population has a negative savings rate, you jerk. And why is that? Because we're all spending like crazy because we know you're going to bring the rapture and we all want to have new clothes and hairdo when we rise up naked. Oh, we don't need the clothes then. Okay. Save, invest, and spend. Save? We don't save. Invest in what? Military weapon stocks? That's a good investment. And spend. Oh, yeah, we spend.
You should have seen this crowd. These La Costa Guarda, they're just staring at him like, I don't think he was supposed to be there today.
La Guarda Costa.
La Guarda Costa.
Yeah, no,
La Costa Rica. I don't know.
The adjective comes after the noun.
I didn't take the La Española in La Hisacula. it's just amazing to me. They had no idea why he was there. I don't think he knew why he was there.
Well, he probably didn't. But then again, when does he ever know where he is? He goes where he is told. He's given a couple of names, and if he has if he is in a geographic location where there might be Spanish speakers, he's given that Germanito, La Casa Blanca stuff to say, you know. Back to your phone calls. Barbara is calling from Bellington, Washington. Is it Bellington or Bellingham?
Bellingham.
That's what I thought. Hi, Barbara. Welcome to the program.
Hi. If you were looking for something, you know, you said earlier, how much can we take?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that this might not be it. There is renewed angst, and they're scurrying like little rats. Alberto Gonzalez, Attorney General, has already had the Justice Department draft legislation to Congress to shield them from any prosecution under the War Crimes Act of 1996.
Now, hey, listen, hold on a second, Barbara, because I want to hear the rest of this, but we got to take a quick break. All right, just stay right there. We'll come right back after the break. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Bienvenidos, so many distinguished Hispanic Americans in the Jardín de Rosas.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Prime Minister, the American people, Mr. Prime Minister, over the past months that it was not always a given that the United States and America would have a close relationship.
It was also, it was not a given that who? Can you play that again, please?
I've reminded the Prime Minister, the American people, Mr. Prime Minister, over the past months that it was not always a given that the United States and America would have a close relationship.
Oh, Jesus Christ, kill me now, please. Oh, just, oh, please. Oh, my God. Back to Barbara in Bellingham, Washington. All right, Barbara, where were we?
Well, in view of the recent Supreme Court ruling making his 2002 presidential order about detainee interrogations,
right,
making that illegal,
right,
there is some renewed angst in the administration about being subject to prosecution under the War Crimes Act of 1996, which, by the way, was passed sponsored by a Republican.
They were targeting Clinton because of his war in Yugoslavia.
Mm. So Gonzalez is back channeling by personally talking to Republican lawmakers, this story says.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already drafted wording for legislation in the Justice Department that has been shipped over to Congress, and they want it yesterday. They want it, quote, definition and certainty, unquote. That they will be free of risk of prosecution.
Do you know how much work there lies ahead if somehow the Democrats or rational people, if that's not a contradiction in terms, get control of the House and the Senate and the White House? Do you know it's going to take years?
Years.
Just to undo the legal damage, it's going to take generations to undo the damage that we have done to the reputation of the United States. You and I won't live to see it. I'm talking 60, 70, maybe 100 years.
Absolutely.
Before people around the globe, if there still is a globe, decide, okay, well, all right, we forgive what the Americans did to us back in the beginning of the 21st century. It's horrifying. So I'm not surprised.
We need to make our representatives aware we don't want these people indemnified.
Well, I know. I of course not. But who are you going to tell? The Democrats? The Democrats are talking about they're going to get on board and confirm John Bolton, the psychopathic killer from the old bad old Iran-Contra days, who is now our ambassador to the UN.
Yes.
Who are you going to turn to?
If there are signatures on this kind of legislation, that's the end of their Washington career.
Well, one can hope. One can hope. I hear what you're saying, Barbara, and I hope it can be stopped. Thanks for checking in, okay? You take care. Joe is calling from Miami. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
So, Barbara, I'm hoping for The Hague to get these guys. Anyway, let me talk about the unconscionable war crime committed by Israel the other day, sanctioned by the U.S. and possible by U.S. weapons. Now, I'll grant Israel that Hezbollah is putting rocket launchers next to buildings and all that. Now, if you don't want to cause collateral damage, you don't use a 2,000-pound bomb or a 3,000-pound bomb to knock out a rocket launcher. You use a 30-millimeter cannon or use a small rocket with a 12 to 25-pound warhead. That stops collateral damage. This was done intentionally, just like they hit the UN outpost. They hit that thing with four bombs. These people are criminals. I can't even say a word when I think about these people. Take care.
All right. Appreciate your call. John is calling from where? Where's John calling from? Anybody know? John, welcome to the program.
Howdy.
Where are you calling from, John?
Joshua Tree, California.
In California. Welcome to the program.
Still hot out here. Mike, I was going to ask you what your take is, what your idea is there a solution to the Middle East crisis and what that might be? And then maybe I'll take a minute to make a little announcement of my own.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I used to believe a two-state solution of the Israelis and the Palestinians living in one country peacefully. I'm sorry, living in two countries peacefully. But that's not going to happen. For whatever reason, the occupied territories are going to remain the occupied territories. The Palestinians are going to continue to fight for what they consider to be lawfully, legally, and morally, I guess, their land that was taken from them in 1948. It's not going to stop. There is no solution. I never claimed to have a solution to this. I've always said I hope that people much brighter than I am, whether they be Israeli or American or Palestinian or Iraqi or whoever, can work this stuff out. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I grieve for that. But I don't have a solution. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can do is, like most people, I watch from the sidelines as the slaughter goes on. And it just so happens that the Israelis are much more capable of committing slaughter than the Arab countries around them. I can't think of any Arab country that we know of that has a nuclear weapon. The Palestinians, they have people who have small arms or AK-47s or Kalashnikovs or whatever. But there is no country in the Middle East that has the strength and the military power as Israel. And like I say, that's not by accident. There's a reason for that. But
you mean that the United States has armed them?
Well, we certainly have provided the weaponry. They have their own weapons factories, I'm sure. But we have that was the deal. That was
yes.
the deal that goes all the way back to the 50s.
Yes.
When the Cold War was raging, we would arm and protect and support Israel because the Soviet Union was arming and supporting, protecting the Arab states contingent to Israel. Hold on a second. We got to take a break. We'll come back
okay.
and pick you up on the other side, John. And the rest of your phone calls, stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him. And we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Pet owners praise it. The hotel staff loves it. Parents rave about it. Allergy sufferers applaud it. Senior citizens are agog about it. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm David Orrick. Everybody's singing the praises of my 8-pound Orrick XL because it's the best vacuum that ever touched their floors. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Cuban President Fidel Castro is undergoing surgery and has given provisional control of the government to his brother Raul. Details of the type of surgery have not been provided in the government statement, except to say it is an intestinal operation. Castro turns 80 years old in a couple of weeks. The United Nations Monday approved a resolution giving Iran till the end of August to stop its enrichment of uranium or face UN sanctions. Only one Security Council member voted against the measure. Qatar's ambassador only objected to the deadline, saying it was poor timing, quote, when our region is in flames. Iran immediately rejected the resolution and insisted there is nothing illegal about its nuclear program. During a visit to the Los Angeles area Monday, British Prime Minister Tony Blair said talks are ongoing to find a peaceful resolution to the conflict between Israel and factions in Lebanon. Lou Stowers has that story.
Prime Minister Blair said the main issue to a Mideast resolution must be fair to Israel and Lebanon.
We are working on a resolution and a plan to make sure that that happens. But it will be a very, very intense negotiation over the coming days. But everybody understands what the issue is. We need to get the resolution, and the resolution must be the occasion for us to be able to stop hostilities.
He added he had discussions with leaders of Israel, Lebanon, and Iraq earlier today. In Long Beach, I'm Lou Stowers.
Despite the international outcry over Israel's assault on the southern Lebanon village of Qana that killed scores of civilians, including more than three dozen children, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert says the attacks on Lebanon will continue and there will not be a ceasefire in the coming days. High temperatures pushed toward 100 in areas ranging from Oklahoma to Minnesota Monday, and the companies supplying electricity across the multi-state power grid say they shattered records for demand on Monday. As the sun set on the Chicago area, more than 15,000 customers were without air conditioning or lights after outages blamed on the stress of the heat wave. Meteorologist Chris Miller says while it has been hot and humid, July's heat wave wasn't record-breaking.
The records through July date back to the Dust Bowl era, and you've got highs, temperatures 110, 112 degrees or higher.
This latest heat wave in the USA is expected to ease later this week. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. We were talking with John in California right before the break. John, thanks for holding on. Where were we?
Okay, so, yeah, I'll give you my take on this. It is doesn't seem to be really a solution. It's almost as if there's, like, powerful forces that have sort of built in a gridlock, so it's very difficult to have a solution. And you mentioned the Israel-Palestine aspect of it, but it's like they're enlarging it to the whole region. Just the other day, I came across a really strange thing. Some guy called Alfred Pike supposedly predicted 3 world wars. It's kind of spooky, but when you think about it, Britain created Israel basically with the Balfour Declaration in 1917. Why did they do this? They were famous for their divide-and-conquer strategy, so this was like a beachhead. Actually, it was Napoleon's idea from 1799 to put a European beachhead there, to divide Europe, Asia, Africa. And by that time, they already knew about the military significance of oil, that there was oil there. So it could be part of like a plan for world domination by securing the oil, and then they can, you know, they can put the screws to China, India, Russia, all the other rivals. So it could be that the Israel is actually in the middle here, is caught in the middle, and has been and they're really being set up for maybe a second Holocaust. I mean, it's pretty scary stuff. You mentioned the word design. I'm actually a book publisher, and one of my books is called Enemies by Design, and it is about PNAC and neocons and that kind of thing, but it covers that idea that maybe it's not just accidental that you're having these hostilities. And my other author, my best-selling author, is Webster Tarpley. He's been after me for a while to try to get on your show, so maybe we can have a meeting off the air about that. But
Well, just send an email to my producer. I don't know if Kathy has a lot of people want me to get Webster Tarpley on. Just send an email to MalloyProducer@AOL.com.
Okay, I'll do that again. All right. And you mentioned, like, you kind of were skeptical about this unprovoked terror attacks by Hezbollah. And Tarpley, he's into that synthetic terror, that fake terror, the provocations. And there's, I think, on anti-warcom, there's a story about all the indications that maybe the Israeli tank was in Lebanon when they were attacked. So it would be very much the same template as you had with the Mexican War, where Abe Lincoln, and this is in Tarpley's book, he was just a couple weeks in Congress, complete freshman, he stood up to President Polk and said, what was the spot where this gunfight with the Mexicans took place?
Right.
Which side of the Rio Grande? So that is the theme. I agree that there's so many things that have to be done before you can get a solution. Basically, you got to get people to start thinking for themselves and understand. There's so much work because the average person, there's such a knee-jerk reaction, like the other talk shows, the right-wing talk shows, that get people into this kind of racist frenzy. And when people are in that mode, you know, you can whip them up one way or the other to be for or against, maybe 50 years ago they were against the Jews, now they're for the Jews. You can do anything like that.
Sure.
And if people don't understand how they're being manipulated, it's very hard. You cannot really have a democracy, a rule of the people, when the people, you know, don't understand when they're being manipulated. But I just have one statement I want to make, that there's going to be a panel tomorrow on C-SPAN. Actually, it's online on their site now, which is going to be this American Scholar Symposium.
Right.
To discuss all that, I think it's 6:10 p.m. Eastern, and Tarpley will be there and some others if you want to watch that. And I think that's a very good introduction. And if there maybe is a shortcut to stopping at least the war there, I think we're saying that the shortcut would be for people to see through all the different war provocations. There's all the different recipes. There's the false flag. There's the provoking. Or there's the counter gang strategy. There's the
John, yeah? I hate to interrupt you because you're saying interesting things, but you're way over the time limit.
Okay.
We'll talk again, and like I say, what you've said makes sense, but I have to move on. All right.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Take care. Take care. Yeah, we kind of tentatively are asking people to hold their comments to 3 minutes. All right? Thanks. John is calling from Las Vegas. John, welcome to the program. Hey, John.
Commander-in-Chief guy.
Let's say it again.
I said the guy wrote the song, there ain't no relief from this Commander-in-Chief. I was just going to say about tomorrow on C-SPAN.
Okay, yeah.
Everybody's got to watch that. I watched it this weekend, and I talked to the gentleman, Lieutenant Colonel Bob Bowman. He said he was on your show before.
Yeah, he was on the program a couple of weeks ago.
Right. Well, I called him, and I urged people to go to his website and donate to help him. Bowman2006.com. I sent him a check already today. All these people need to be helped to get the truth out. That's all I was mainly wanted to say.
Yeah, and, well, that's true. That's true. That's for the reason we have these people on the program. You can't vote for him because he's not in your district, but you can send him a check.
Exactly, and that's just everybody watch C-SPAN tomorrow, Eastern Time, C-SPAN 1, 6:10 Eastern, what the guy just said. Everybody, and then you got to start to talk to everybody you can about this. There's no more just saying, we got to be mum. Everybody's got to know 911's a lie.
What time is it on again?
6:10 Eastern Standard Time, it says.
Okay.
Yeah, 6:10 Eastern Standard Time, and then you get to see all these great people, and then go to their websites, donate, talk to them, get involved. We all need to be involved because 911, you know, George likes to bring it up all the time. Let's start bringing it up, George, and let's get to the truth.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea.
Anyway, there ain't no relief from this Commander-in-Chief. Sign it off.
Okay, thanks, John. I appreciate
you. Take care, my friend.
All right, you too. Take care. Ira is calling from New York. Ira, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Yeah, I just thought I'd comment on the situation in the Middle East.
Okay.
It seems like it's being cleverly orchestrated to gradually widen the hostilities, the violence, and it looks like it's like a backdoor effort by Cheney, Rumsfeld, the neocons to take a shot at taking over Syria and Iran. I don't know what your take on that is. But
I think that's a very clear possibility. This was the PNAC plan that was laid out 10 years ago. This is the one they tried to get Clinton to sign on to. This is the one that Wesley Clark mentions in his book. I think you're right. And I think Israel is being goaded into continuing this really unnecessarily vicious attack on the Lebanese civilians. I mean the damage that's being done there. I saw a report tonight. I guess it was on CBS, and it was a rather lengthy report. It's from ITN, the British news agency.
Yeah.
And the film or the videotape that was presented showing village after village, town after town after town in Lebanon,
yeah,
just turned into rubble. And the last I heard was that this Assad, the head of Syria, president of Syria,
yep,
or whatever he is, you know, his father was the president or the prime minister. I don't know what system they have there, but this guy is now talking about the Syrian military is to be on alert, and I can't help but think that this is the PNAC plan. There are some people who signed off on that, William Crystal, there are a whole bunch of guys who signed off on that. But I think the human species would be better off if these people were in a detention center for the rest of their lives,
yeah,
where they could not have any influence on any country's foreign policy. These are real sick bastards. I mean, they really are. They make the Hitler group look like a bunch of amateurs, what they've got in mind.
And like you say, I'll just make one final point. Like you say, you know, I saw Chuck Hagel speaking out against this a little bit, but you don't see any Democrats, hardly anybody, nobody of any significance is speaking out.
Nobody. I know. It's I can't figure that one out, Ira. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in, okay?
Have a good night.
All right, you too. Take care. We'll be back after the break. This is Air America.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm so busy at work, Dr. Phil, I don't have any time ever, and I wouldn't know where to look.
Well, don't just sit around whining about what you don't have. Go out and create what and who you wish was in your life.
Somehow, I knew you were going to say that.
Look, don't dream, do. Don't want, get.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
The walls close in, the air grows thin. An unspeakable crime unfolds as a new victim learns that it is possible to be scared to death. Faithless, the chilling new novel by Karen Slaughter. When Grant County Coroner Sarah Linton discovers a young woman's body, she vows to unmask a killer who preys on both body and soul. Read Faithless by best-selling author Karen Slaughter, now a Dell paperback.
Left out by right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
Baby,
about 22 past the hour. Who are we? Were we talking to somebody? No, we weren't. All right, Barry is calling from Portland, Oregon. Barry, welcome to the program.
Mike, are,
yes.
Hello?
Yes, yes, hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, well, I wanted, last time I was concerned about some sort of negotiation that maybe even Ralph Nader was Lebanese, along with former President Carter and Noam Chomsky and people like that with wisdom and insight could negotiate. This our president himself, he doesn't have it in his heart to do that. But if he could somehow give them the authority to do that.
No, Bush and no member of this clique of Christian Zionists are interested in peace in the Middle East. They want war and death and destruction because what they believe is their sick version, really twisted, psychotic version of what at one time might have been Christianity, and that is this Armageddonist stuff, this rapture crap, and there have to be enough dead Jews and dead Muslims in order for Jesus to be very, very happy and step out of the clouds onto this huge mountain of rotting corpses and then rapture everybody into heaven, and then, you know, all... This is very important. Bush is a member of that group think. I mean, he's an evil bastard, and he has a potty mouth worse than mine, and he's a corrupter, and he's a divider, and he's an evil man. But he is also a member of that death cult, that sub-branch of Christianity that believes in as much death as possible. And that's why what you are suggesting will never, ever, ever happen.
Well, I'm concerned that in World War II, the Nazis were horrible, but people had a sense of morality. Our country had a sense of morality. General Patton marched people by so they could see what their country had done to other human beings, but now the sense of morality is being just lost by the whole world. Even the United Nations isn't getting in to
It's been changed. Media in this country have collectively, but mostly talk radio, working in tandem with the conservatives, have changed the definition of morality. Morality is no longer what it was, or what you may think it was, or what I may think it was. Morality now has to do with whatever rules and regulations are laid out in this death cult of this bloody fake Christianity. That's what morality is. Everything is justifiable because, you see, the Lord is coming back, and it's all part of God's plan, so nobody has to take any responsibility. And besides, you can murder a million people, and as you suck in your last breath, according to this death cult, you can say, oh, by the way, Jesus, forgive me, please, and then you'll be at the right hand of God within nanoseconds. So you've got to understand that this sick death cult is what is in control right now.
Yes, well, there's something in Hebrews 10:26 about, you know, if someone says, oh, gee, I'm sorry all the time, and it's not in their heart that that's what they're doing, then they're like crucifying Christ again. And I mean, it says this in the Bible so powerfully.
Yes. Yeah, I know. All right, listen, I've got to move on. I appreciate you checking in, Barry. Thanks a lot, but... Hi, David is calling from New York. David, welcome to the program. David is calling from the... Are you there, David?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, I'm a new listener to your program.
Uh-huh.
And before, I heard you mention enemy combatants in the Bush crime family, and for the longest time, they've been using 9/11 to justify everything from declaring people enemy combatants to justify torture, NSA spying, the Patriot Act.
Everything.
And in general, gutting the Constitution. And these things will last long after Bush has gone from office. And I think that alone is a good reason for all people, even so-called right-wingers, to oppose all infringements on our constitutional rights.
Well, you'd think that if we lived in a world or in a society that was still 10% rational, but that's not where we live. You know, Bush also uses 9/11 to justify his tax cuts to the ultra wealthy. He uses 9/11 to justify everything. So,
and I also heard you talk about 9/11 in the past, and I wish other hosts of Air America would cover this, and you know, maybe they'll get more listeners as a result. And I think my main point is this: if they're going to use 9/11 as a justification for everything, then we have every right to be skeptic, to challenge them on it. And, you know, at some point, the term conspiracy theory is just another term for laziness.
That's true. That's very true. All right, Greg, I'm sorry, David. All right, who am I talking to here? I'm talking with David. David, I got to leave you there. Thanks for checking in. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read The Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for The Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
Who's there?
Opportunity.
Opportunity who?
Opportunity knocking.
What for?
Your chance to win.
Win what?
Sony stuff.
Who's with you?
Sony card.
Sony card who?
Sony card weekly cash-in.
Cash-in? How much?
A $500 Sony card credit or a $599 Sony-style gift card every week.
That's a lot of dough.
Good for a lot of entertainment.
Like movies and music? A digital camera?
Go for it.
But how?
Every week, three lucky card members can win.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
But you gotta act fast.
Where do I apply?
Online.
What's the address?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner.
Sounds easy.
It is. It's SonyCard. Earning points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with SonyCard. We'll be right back.
tend to forget. I mean, ours is a society where things are like instant, so therefore history almost is like so far back it doesn't count.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, my goodness. Back to your phone calls. Wait, what, Kathy?
Every time I hear that sound bite, I think about when he said the past is over.
The past is over?
It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, back to your phone calls. Jackie is calling from Akron, Ohio.
Oh, Mike, I've been cracking up mostly when I'm not exploding like a roadside IED.
Yeah.
Nothing is funnier than you having your interactive commentary with him, with that human practical joke.
You're talking about Mr. Bush?
That's what you call him, maybe, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I hope you, there's enough time for me to just say a few different things. When I was listening to his, Florida holiday, I was wondering if maybe the brothers Bush were going to slip on down to Cuba and look for some real estate now that Fidel's not doing too well.
He's in the hospital. Oh, I'll bet they're just...
Right, they're waiting to grasp on. They're going to be owning some beachfront property soon, I'm sure. But
yeah.
that isn't even what I wanted to say.
They're going to take up where Batista left off.
Exactly. And yeah. They've just been waiting, 80 million years for him to croak over. But that's how everything they do, I know. There's, and he's down there having crabs and hanging out with Dan Marino's wife while the whole planet is burning.
And Andy Garcia and eating crabs and checking out the honeys and, hot damn.
Oh, God, he's having a pre-vacation. His August vacation's here. He's probably warming up down there. I can't believe it. He's just having a grand old time.
Yeah, hell of his creation is waiting for him.
I hope he gets there soon.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that is enough. The fact that he's doing that and he's on TV talking about it, if the world, I think that's grounds to tar and feather him. I mean, the world's falling apart and he's at Disney World. But I guess I'm just going crazy. But my solution for the Middle East.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay.
If you can do it in a minute.
Okay, oh yeah.
All right.
I got this down. If the world would just stop trying to eliminate the Jews, I think everything would be just fine. Why can't everybody stop and just let them have their little strip of land? They don't close it off. I mean, anybody, Christians, Muslims, everybody can live there. And just stop trying to kill all the Jews since the Pharaoh's time or before. That's been the world's mission, to get rid of the Jews. So if everybody just stopped trying to kill them, I know, far more about the history and all, but... and there's plenty of sides to it. But here's what really kills me. The whole world, including most dumb Americans, are so outraged at all the killing there. But I've never heard the whole world be outraged about all the Iraqi dead. I mean, it's blowing my mind. The whole war. You didn't hear all these leaders coming out I'm talking about the collateral damage and all that. I mean, you yourself know of all the red mist we've caused there, but you never heard any Americans, any politicians sitting there yammering on about how they should conduct this and that. And I mean, it's like the Iraqi people must feel like chopped liver. I mean, I know it's a different situation, but it's still the same end. I mean, look at all the innocent millions of Iraqis. I just can't believe no one comments about that. I mean, it's like we don't talk about that. But this Lebanese problem with all those dead innocent people, the whole world's outraged. I mean, doesn't that seem ironic or hypocritical? I don't know. It just blows my mind. But anyway, my solution is just, draw up whatever borders you got to, and if everybody would just stop trying to get rid of the Jews and let them just live in their little sandbox or whatever. I know they're not, I'm not saying anybody's perfect here, but did you happen to catch 60 Minutes with Osama's driver? My point about him is, here's the difference. He has a beautiful little boy. He's like 4 or 5 years old. And his whole hope for his little boy, you might guess, is that he can finish what his dad won't and be a martyr. And his whole hope for this gorgeous little baby of his is to die as a martyr. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't relate. How can you relate to that when we talk about all the innocent dead children, and that's what they want for their children, just like Golda Meir said, until they stop hating us or loving their children more than they hate us, this will never end. And to me, that's the bottom line.
Okay.
I don't know if there's more, but I'm a utopian. All right. I wish I could send you a nice fudgesicle. They're so delicious. Good luck, Mike. I know I sound crazy, but I really... I mean, oh, we could also give all the water systems in the world ecstasy, and then everybody would just love each other, and nobody would want to kill. I know.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye.
Thanks,
I'm not
Jackie.
As crazy as I sound, but
appreciate
love you. Thank you.
Thanks for checking in. Okay, give me a second. Now, the world is trying to kill all the Jews, but Jackie says let them live in their sandbox and eat fudgesicles and ecstasy. No. Everybody else should eat. No. I'm going to try. Steve is calling from Springfield. Is that Ohio or Illinois or where at, Steve?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Welcome to the program.
Most democratic state in the union.
Well, why do you have a Republican governor?
Well, yeah, that's you're very right there. I guess it's the international Mormon conspiracy.
I'm sure that's what it is.
I had a lot to say, but I have got to say, Jackie, you go, girl. Jackie, you go. I have been wanting to say for 3 weeks now, and I know totals and tallies are so cold. When you are talking about dead children, there's nothing colder. But if it's valid to compare Israeli casualties to Lebanese, then why isn't it valid to compare? We're killing 3,000 a month in Iraq, and we have since we invaded Iraq. Nobody, not Kofi Annan, nobody cried over the Iraqi dead that the Americans, British, Japanese, Spanish, until their trains were blown up, so on and so forth, were killing. The Palestinian-Israeli conflict and the left's obsession with it is not about the oppressed. It's about who is doing the oppressing, because the surest way, I'll tell you something, the surest way for Tibet to be independent of China would be for Israel to occupy Tibet. The surest way for the Basques to get their own country is if it were the Jews who were preventing the Basques from getting their own country. The surest way for the Falklands to become the Malvinas again would be if the Jews were occupying the Malvinas and calling them the Falklands.
Well, how would that?
If you're following me, I just want to say, Jackie, you go, girl. And thanks, Mike. I hope I speak to you again soon.
Okay. Adioski, again, I'm not sure what he meant. Do you know what he meant?
I'm still trying to figure out Jews in the sandbox eating fudgesicles.
Well, it's, you know. Ron is calling from Detroit. Ron, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Well, those two are just absolutely baffling. But so let me add mine, and I'm afraid that I'm going to probably cause some controversy here. But you know, last week or this week, you read some of the statements from the founders of Israel. You know what kind of raw language they use. They made no bones about it. The Palestinians were seen as the American Indians, and they were going to drive them out, and they were going to do whatever they wanted. In fact, there's a famous statement by a mayor of one of the Israeli cities who said, all the Palestinians have to go, and unless they're willing to crawl on all fours before us and be our slaves. Now, this mentality has not changed. 60% of the Israelis want to drive all of the Arabs out today, all of them. the Arabs within Israel, the Palestinians within Palestine, or Israel, and all of them in the territories. Israel has never declared its borders, and it has never given up the idea of expanding all the way to Iraq. It really hasn't. And this business in Lebanon is part of this this expansion. I simply can't buy this business that poor little Israel is just a pawn, and it's mean old Dick Cheney and the neocons here. The neocons here work in concert with the neocons in the Quds and other expansionists in Israel. Believe me. So what's missing here in this entire discussion is what we did with South Africa. Isn't it a form of prejudice that we help the South African blacks overcome their apartheid oppression, but nobody will help the Palestinians overcome theirs with a boycott of Israeli goods, divestment of investments in Israel? Every union in this country, every state, has major investments in Israel. Those should be ended, and there should be personal action by everybody who's concerned about this issue to do this. Instead, they want Ralph Nader to do it. They want the UN to do it.
Yeah.
It's an abdication of personal responsibility.
Okay, Ron, I've had to do this a couple times tonight. I have to do it right now. I'm sorry. I got to leave it there. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Orrick XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Orrick XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too.
It's about 10 before the hour. I'm not on real firm ground with those last couple of calls, but that's okay. It's late, you know. At least it's late here in the East. Thanks to the crew at Air America for the assistance tonight. Justin Nguyen and Tim MacArthur engineered this program in New York City. David Weissman handled your calls tonight, also in New York. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall at MaximumInteractive.com is our webmaster. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives this program. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. And for those of you who've been asking, there are new Molly pictures in the gallery at MikeMalloy.com. The world's youngest liberal is no longer the world's youngest liberal. She's starting to grow up. So check it out, MikeMalloy.com. Go to the gallery for those of you who have been following Molly. Molly is an Air America radio baby, so to speak. She was 5 days old when we started working here. Something like that.
I don't know. Those first few months are a blur.
A blur. Absolute blur. Back to your phone calls. Roberta is calling from San Diego. Roberta, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Firm ground?
Yeah, it's a little shaky. A little shaky over here tonight.
No, we're all developing a new kind of psychosis with this administration.
I know.
This is a psychosis that's probably never existed in the time of history. But anyway, I'll try not to be too crazy.
Okay.
You know, I'm sort of ready to send out a help, an SOS to other galaxies. I'm a human being living on planet Earth, and George Bush is my president. Will someone please send help soon?
Yes, please. Please send help.
God help us all. Anyway, firm ground? Really?
No.
Where?
It's very shaky. It's like standing in a peat bog when there's an earthquake nearby. Yeah.
Yeah, and you see, and I don't drink or smoke pot or take any kind of drug, so, you know, some of us are having to face this stone cold sober. And
oh my God, I don't know how you do it.
Well, every now and then I buy a whole cheesecake at Trader Joe's and eat the whole thing in one night.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll get you through. Yeah.
Lately, I've been listening to Leon Russell and Boz Scaggs and
John Lee Hooker.
Well, yes, you know, just you can kind of recycle some of the old music, and it's helpful. But, yeah, this is really very, very challenging, you know, to hang
it
on
is.
Firm ground and sanity with all this stuff going on.
It is. So, it is a real challenge. You've got to have something to ground you, a hobby, a pet, a two-year-old, you know.
Well, I did sit in a women's goddess circle last night, and I have to admit that was pretty powerful.
Well, now that can be fun. Yeah, that can be very much fun. Yeah,
yeah, and we did send out a prayer to those terrifying people that we're hoping don't decide to just blow up the whole place, you know? We sent a prayer out to them.
Well, I respect that, the fact that you can send out good thoughts to the people who might blow up the planet. You know, I think murder is stuff.
But that's why
I am who who I am. I you know, my spiritual core right now is kind of closed off. It looks like the casing of a 30 caliber rifle slug. You know, and there's just not a whole lot of room in there right now. But I appreciate the fact that you guys can sit there and send out prayerful thoughts to world leaders. That's a good thing.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, I spend a good
I mean, it's a good thing for you. I'm sorry now. I'm not trying to be weird here, but I think it's a good thing for you folks who are doing it. I really don't think those good thoughts go more than about 2 inches and then just go flood down on the ground, you
okay.
know. But that's all right. I mean, that's just my opinion. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
All right.
Okay. Many blessings.
All right. Back at you, Roberta. You have a nice evening. Take care.
Talk to you next time.
Okay. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
You know, we're going to have to stop on the way home and get fudgesicles. I'm just having a meltdown.
I want a crab quesadilla, frankly.
Well, you have that, and I'll have the fudgesicle, and then whatever Roberta was drinking. I want some of that goddess juice or whatever it is.
No, Roberta was just high on life.
Well, then I need some of that.
Have you ever sat in a Wiccan or a woman's circle? You've never done that, have you?
Not unless the lobby of my gynecologist's office.
No,
it's kind of circular.
No, that doesn't count.
A lot of goddesses in there the last time I was.
Yeah,
there.
Well, I don't know. You're just going to have to. You're going to have to find a nice circle of practitioners of the old religion and explore that. Oh God, what am I saying? It's hard enough to live with you as it is.
It sounds like something. It sounds like some girl on girl action that you want to watch.
No,
it's
no,
not gonna happen, honey.
Kathy,
not even on our 10th wedding anniversary.
No, please stop. I'm talking about empowerment. I'm talking about the strength of the yin, or is it the yang? I could never keep those two straight. All right. Who do we have? Do we have any guests this week?
We do, Mike. We have Jonathan Tessini, who is running against Hillary for the Senate tomorrow night at 10:30 Eastern Time.
Did we have him on before? I think we did. This will be his second appearance.
We have, Mike. This will be his second appearance on the Molloy Show.
You sound like the guy on Let's Make a Deal.
That's exactly the sound I was going for. Thank you. And, yeah, those are the only guests I have. That's the only guests I have booked this week so far.
Thanks for participating tonight. Wherever you are or however you did that, we do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Air America Radio.
America Radio.
I work all day, Dr. Phil, and okay, fine, I guess I'm sort of a homebody, so I feel like it's really never going to happen for me.
Look, love is not like the pizza man. Hi, I'm going door to door looking for a life partner. Not going to happen.
Dr. Phil is now on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day and help them find love. Now with our free starter kit, you can see if we're right for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
The walls close in. The air grows thin. An unspeakable crime unfolds as a new victim learns that it is possible to be scared to death. Faithless, the chilling new novel by Karen Slaughter. When Grant County Coroner Sarah Linton discovers a young woman's body, she vows to unmask a killer who preys on both body and soul. Read Faithless by bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Now a Dell paperback.